European central bankers will be laser-focused today on a recent jump in the cost of borrowing. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A rapid rise so far this year in long-term interest rates has grabbed the European Central Bank's attention. The financial market-driven rates are still low across the region by historic standards, but policymakers worry higher costs for governments and companies to service their debt could pose a threat to the fragile pandemic economic recovery. At their meeting in Frankfurt today, ECB members will discuss ways to mitigate that risk, as Karsten Breske from ING Research explains.
If you put yourself in the shoes of the ECB, their first reaction will be to use words. So they need to communicate very strongly that this increase in inflation, which will continue, in my view, throughout the entire year, is driven by so-called one-off factors outside of the reach of the ECB. If words are not enough, that the ECB also today or maybe in the coming month, they would react, step up asset purchases. Sounds a bit counterintuitive because it means that even though inflation is going up, the ECB will not normalize monetary policy, but instead by adding even more stimulus.
And so what are the risks to the overall Eurozone economic recovery if they don't act soon enough or they make the wrong move too soon?
In the short run, everything is still linked to the vaccination schedule and lockdown. So there is very little that especially the ECB can do about it. But we still assume that the economy will pick up again in the second quarter. If the ECB was to react to higher inflation with also higher interest rates, they would choke off this very tentative recovery. On the other hand, if the ECB is wrong about the spurt in inflation is only short-lived, you could very easily end up accelerating inflation, which is very hard to stop. So this is the big challenge for the ECB.
A tightrope to walk, as always. Karsten Breske from ING Research in Frankfurt. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Checking the numbers now, government bond yields in Germany are continuing to trade near recent highs, though still below 0% ahead of that ECB meeting later today. Meanwhile, global stocks are mixed. Shares in Asia ended largely higher, while key benchmarks here in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are little changed at this hour. To Mexico now, where the lower house of parliament passed a plan to legalize recreational use of marijuana in the country. The bill now heads to the Senate and could make Mexico the single largest legal cannabis market in the world. Thousands of small Mexican farmers could be brought into the formal economy, dealing a blow to the nation's powerful drug cartels. From the nation's capital, the BBC's Will Grant has more.
Under the bill, holders of a license would be permitted to carry up to 28 grams of cannabis and grow up to 8 plants at home. A number of foreign marijuana growing companies from Canada and California are hoping to tap into the market opportunity presented by the legislation. But a number of pro-legalization activists are unhappy with the bill, arguing that it continues to criminalize the consumer. Why, asked one high-profile activist outside the Senate, can Mexicans buy as much alcohol as they like, yet be liable for prosecution if they grow more than 8 cannabis plants? A legal challenge is expected by a number of activists if the bill becomes law.
That's the BBC's Will Grant reporting from Mexico City there. Many countries are in a race to mint new digital currencies. That's because a new era of digitized money could provide more peace of mind about access to capital after natural disasters or even global events like the pandemic we're experiencing now. The BBC's Ed Butler has more on that story.
Wind gusts of 200 miles per hour.
What do you do when a devastating natural disaster destroys homes and businesses? How do you rebuild when the storms even destroyed people's means to pay for basic goods and services? The government of the Bahamas is putting faith in something called the sand dollar. It's a digital currency designed to run in parallel to the Bahamian dollar. Jay Joe is chief executive of NZIA, a company which is providing some of the technology behind the new currency.
Part of our original architecture was through the building of a redundant wireless payment network that was separate from existing telecommunications infrastructure to now allow money to flow between two points without the need of power or even a network communication.
Other central banks in many other countries seem now to be engaged in a race to follow suit. It might sound akin to technology like Alipay or Apple Pay, but these digital funds would be held on an app that will be equivalent to a deposit at your country's central bank. So they might cut out the private banks that we use altogether. Josh Lipsky is a director of the Geo-Economic Centre at the Atlantic Council. He's been watching the new race to digitise.
The ability to deliver money instantaneously to someone's phone is very attractive. Consumers are driving this. This is how they want to pay for things. And when they have the rise of Bitcoin and Ethereum and private cryptocurrencies, you can imagine how that scares central banks a little bit as they lose control over the monetary supply and really monetary policy within their countries.
Well, China, it seems, is well ahead of other countries in the race to create a new digital currency. And the DCEP, as their version is known, has some activists worried. The concern is that the central bank in Beijing could be watching every transaction that people make. Samantha Hoffman is a senior analyst at the Australian Strategic Policy Unit.
Through this digital currency, transactions will be fully traceable. So it could be solving a genuine problem with money laundering while also targeting the party's own political opponents.
Beijing plans to run city-level trials of its currency this year and next, with a currency ready for use by the time it hosts the Winter Olympics in 2022. Meanwhile, other countries are racing to catch up. Some experts reckon a fifth of the world's population could have access to a central bank digital currency in just a few years' time, with significant implications for the way that we all spend and save. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Finally, Australia's government has a nearly $1 billion plan to boost the nation's travel industry and get vacation goers back in the skies. Half-price flights to a dozen domestic vacation spots will begin rolling out next month. Where's the first place you want to go when it's safe? Tweet me at Victoria Craig. Top of my list, hiking in Norway. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.